It's been a great weekend, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had two graduations. It'd be nice to have two baptisms this way. Two graduations this week. And we are just really, really excited for these two. And just so grateful for Devante, who graduated from Tuskegee. You guys don't know, he's going to be leaving us too on Monday, so he's going to be leaving, going to his new job. And I just want to say thank you so much for the role that you've had at Tuskegee and how much you've helped people there, and really just grateful, and we're going to miss you a lot. Antoinette is also our other graduate yesterday, and she's staying with us. But we are so grateful just for your hard work and perseverance at school, and you're just a great example. But it's always great to have great news in the church like that, to see people advancing in their lives. And so it's great to be together today. I hope you guys are excited just to be here with each other. Let's go ahead. Let's just start out with a word of prayer, and we'll get into the lesson. Father, thank you so much, Father, just for how amazing you are. Father, we just thank you, God, for just the way that you pour down grace to us, God. You pour down love to us. You show us so much, Father. You give us so much. And God, we're just so grateful to be here today. Thank you, God, for the victories of graduation and people moving on in life. And God, we're just so excited for Devante and Antoinette, and really as they just go to another phase, another part of their life, God. And Father, I pray that you really would just take them in just incredible directions, Father, and really help them wherever they do, God, that they would be closer to you. Father, we just thank you for this day. God, we really ask that you fill up this room with your Spirit, God, that you really allow our hearts to really just connect with the Scriptures today. And Father, that you take me out of the way, that you would really just help us to really see what you want for our lives, God. God, we love you so much, and we're so thankful for all that you do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. And also, we have a family here visiting from Texas. I wanted to say welcome. And grateful to have you here with us today. So today we're going to be talking about tall mountains and green. No, and
yeah,
we're going to be talking about fighting for God.
Okay.
All right. And this is something I've been talking to a lot of people about lately. I just really have a conviction that we need to fight for our relationship with God. And, I could go through and I could just rattle off story after story after story of times in my Christian walk where I've had to really fight to stay strong in my relationship just because things around me were happening. And I'll just pick one. This was about in 2003 or 4, somewhere around that year. Marge and I were just married for not so long, maybe 6 months, or maybe not even that. And I was working in the ministry, and I was leading, it was the most incredible little church. It was 75 singles in the Redondo Beach. It was called the Redondo Beach Sector. We had this hotel we got for $50 a week that you could see the ocean view. I mean, it was just an amazing group of disciples, and we just loved what we did. And but there was some money issues that they couldn't afford to have us on staff, and there's some things going on in the church at that time that I got laid off, and so did a lot of other people at that time. And I just remember Marge and I we went home, and you know, we went from leading ministries and all this to really just nobody calling us. We just kind of went through this kind of a downtime, kind of figure out, like, God, like, what are you going to do with our lives now? How are you going to use us? What are you going to, you know, I'm looking at the situation. I'm thinking, God, I don't know what I'm going to do now. I got to find a job. I got to do this. And I just got really discouraged in my faith. And I don't know if you've ever been in a place like that where things around you just got you a little bit discouraged. Things around you got you just a little bit thrown off on your incredible relationship that maybe you had with God before. But then life stuff comes in and you're just feeling like, wow, I just don't know how I'm going to stick in here. And I remember going home and sitting around at night after work. I finally got a job, and coming home after work, and we'd sit there in our house, and Marge and I were just looking at each other like, what do we do now? Like, We don't really have a role. We don't really have, there's not like a lot of people around us, and the phone calls just stopped, and just a lot of people were going through a lot of different things. And I just remember thinking like, man, I don't know, this is just getting so hard. There, it was my relationships and different things, and my relationship with God wasn't where it was before. And I just was starting to feel like, God, I don't know, is this, what am I going to do here? Am I really going to stick in this? You know, I thought, well, maybe I could just find a church where I could just do nothing at and kind of sit and take a vacation for a while. And all these things that Satan started going through my mind, that Satan put in there, none of them were right, but these were just where I was at the time, thinking, God, maybe if I just, you know, maybe I just take a break from being a disciple for a little bit. And I hear that from a lot, from people from time to time. I always think of, what does that mean? But then when I went through some, I'm thinking the same thing. Maybe I'll just take a little bit of break from God. Well, how do you do that? And what does that look like? But I just remember that I made a decision that all these things that Satan was putting in my head were just wrong. And I was just going to fight. I was going to fight spiritually. I was going to go to God. I was going to go out and start sharing my faith at a time when a lot of people weren't sharing their faith. And I said, I'm just going to do what I know the Bible tells me to do. And I look back on times like that, and I just think, I'm so, not because I'm so great, but more just because I'm thankful that God allowed me to fight through that time. And I really believe that this is something that's very important for all of us, because you may be at a time in your Christianity right now where you're just excited about your walk with the Lord, right? Or you may be in a place in your Christianity right now where you're thinking, man, this is getting hard, and I don't know what my life's going to look like. I don't know how I can do all these things that are in the Bible. And, you know, I don't know where you, maybe you're somewhere in between. But I really believe that as a church, as the Auburn Tuskegee Christian Church, that we need to be good at fighting for our faith, fighting for our relationship with God, because there's things, a lot of things in life we fight for, right? We fight for school, we fight for work, we fight for relationships. You know, we got to put it the priority of the things that we fight for in our life. We've got to fight for our relationship with God. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, is fighting for God. But before we get into our fight for God, I really want to tell you just how amazing Jesus is. I want, because I really believe that there's something that we're fighting for. We're fighting because someone already fought for us. Amen. And so Jesus has fought and continues to fight for us. Amen. You know, do you feel that? Do you feel that God is on your side right now? I think sometimes when we go through certain things in life, we can almost feel like maybe God's not really helping me out anymore. You know, but I want you to know today, and we'll look at these scriptures, that Jesus, he has fought for you, and he's continuing to fight for you. Let me look at a few scriptures here. John chapter 6 and verse 35. It says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You know, and I look at that scripture and you go, well, how's that a fight? And I think, well, Jesus right here, it's showing that he is on our side. He is there. He's meeting every single need that we have. And when you think about the biggest needs that we have in our life, sometimes we can think it's getting the right car or being in the right class. But I tell you one thing, if I take away food and I take away water from your life, you're going to figure out quickly that those were some two big needs that we have in our life, right? Yeah. And so he says, I am your bread. I'm the bread of life. And he says, with me, you're never going to go hungry. And whoever believes in me, you're never going to go thirsty. And I think you've heard me talk about this before. You know, with food, we can go about 40 days without food. And that's at the extreme. I don't suggest anybody trying to copy Jesus for 40 days, because you may or may not make it. I don't know. Water is only 3 days. We can only go a few days without water. These are things in our life that we can't survive without. And when we think about our relationship with Jesus, sometimes we think, well, you know what? I need water, I need food, but I can get by with a little bit of a break from Jesus. No, he is supplying our need every day, whether we see it or not. We can't live without Jesus. And he's actively fulfilling every need that we have in our life. You know, even if you think, well, maybe this area of my life is not going well, he is taking care of us, and he's giving us what we need. We can't survive without Jesus. We can be thankful that Jesus is on our side, and he's fighting for us, and he's giving us the food of life, and he's giving the bread of life, and we will never go thirsty. Look at another scripture in John. Jesus is just so amazing. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for my sheep. So the extent that Jesus fights for us is not just a little bit. He says here that not only do I know my sheep, that's the amazing thing, that we get to have a relationship with Jesus. You know, when we're in trouble, yeah, a lot of times we'll go to other things. The reality is we have someone right in our corner there that's standing up and fighting for us, and that's Jesus. And he knows us. He knows what we need. And it says there that he loves us, and he's willing to fight for us so much that he'll lay down his life for his sheep. You know, that's an amazing character of Jesus. That he's not just in this at a halfway kind of a thing. He's in it with me. And sometimes we can think, well, yeah, this is good. He laid down his life for everybody. And that's a good thought, right? I mean, he laid down his life for all of us. But you know what I like to think even more? That Jesus laid down his life for me. Right. He loves me that much. He's fighting. He has fought for me that much. That he laid down his life for me. He's laid down his life for you. Look at another scripture, Romans 8, in verse 1. It says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh but according to the Spirit. You know, and again, I look at this scripture and it talks about how Jesus gave up his life, how he fought for me. And it says there that, you know, in his Son, in the likeness of sinful flesh. And sometimes we can almost downplay the fighting that Jesus did for us. We can start thinking, well, like, you know, this Christ was God. He didn't really feel much. I mean, it's, you know, he's God. But what we forget that when he came to earth and he died on the cross for us, it says here that he was in sinful flesh. He was just like you and like me. He was fully human, and he fought for me. He gave up his life. He fought so that I could have life. I just think that's so amazing. He's human in every way, and he fought for me, and he felt everything when he died on the cross for me. And he gave up his life. He became a sin offering.
Amen.
You know, again, I see the fight that Jesus Christ has for me. And it's just so amazing. You know, when I think about Jesus, you know, these are just a few. There's many names in the Bible that are mentioned about Jesus, but these are just a few. You know, it's stated that he's our counselor. He's our deliverer, our everlasting Father, our good shepherd, the head of the church. He's our king, the leader and commander, the light of the world. He's our mediator, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Rock. He's the ruler of creation. He's our Savior. He says, in other places, it says, he's my helper, my physician. my restorer, my strong tower, my servant, my shield. Those are just a couple of names that Jesus, but you look at all those are things that really, those names describe his love and his fight for us. He's our shield in hard times. He's my physician. He's the one that mends me back together. He's my rock when I'm in trouble. You know, you think about all those words. I mean, Jesus is better than any superhero. You know, sometimes we get so excited when a new superhero movie comes out. And we go, wow, I got to go see that movie. But I want to ask you this. Do you get more excited on a daily basis about how incredible Jesus is? About how much he loves you? About how much he's gone to bat for you? How much he's willing to fight and continues to fight for you? It makes superheroes, the Incredible Hulk, he's the biggest one there. It makes him look like nothing. What Jesus has done in our lives. And we need to constantly remember how much Jesus has fought for us and is fighting for us. Romans 8, in verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. You know, and here it says God in his Spirit, it says that he helps us in our weakness. Now, I want you to think, when was the last time you were a little bit weak? Probably for most of us, probably one day this week, right? Yeah. And then you think the week before that, were you a little bit weak? It's an ongoing thing with me. There's days when I'm really excited, days I'm doing great, and there's days where I just have stuff going on. And what I see here is that Jesus is not done. God is not done fighting for us. He's in a continual battle to help us through our weaknesses. He's in a continual battle to really make sure that you are loved and you are taken care of, and that he's giving you everything he can to make sure that you do good in your walk with the Lord. Amen. You know, it says here, even at times, and I don't know if you've been through times, and I know recently, you know, just with Marge going through cancer and hearing that diagnosis of that, there were times where I just didn't know what to pray for. You ever had so much to pray for, and yet you can't get a word out because you just don't know what to ask for? You know, and I can relate to this scripture, and I'm so thankful that Jesus continues, the Spirit continues to fight for me, even so much he makes my nothing turn into words to God. He intercedes so that I can communicate with God. You know, I really hope you think about this on a daily basis in your relationship with God. That God is just not thing that he gives you whatever you want and whatever. I mean, sometimes we can have all these great feeling things about God that are not even so much who God is. God is in a battle for us. And he's there. He's fighting for each one of us. That's how much Jesus loves us. And that brings us on to what we're going to talk to you about here in the next scriptures, is because Jesus fought for us, because we have so much in Jesus, that we need to fight for our relationship with God. You know, giving up is never an option. You know, all of us have seen people that have just given up on their relationship with God from time to time, and it's a really sad thing. And I can think through years of being a Christian, I've seen too many people give up on their relationship with God when they really didn't need to. Mm-hmm. Too many people that just quit too early. Right. They didn't wait to see what God was going to do in their life. Because we don't, it's not our human nature. We don't like to fight for things, right? We like things to be easy, right? We like to have a remote on the TV. We don't want to get out of our chair. We want things in life to be easy.
That's right.
We want a microwave that once, you know, a couple seconds I can boil water. That's not natural. You know, we don't want to have to turn on the fire and wait for the normal time to boil water, right? You know, because we like things in our life to be easy. And I just really want to call the church here to really, you know, in your love for Christ. And I know all of us are really going after God, and we're having our quiet times. We're really going after that relationship. But I want to call us that when hard times come, we have got to be fighters in our relationship with God. Giving up is never an option. We'll look at some scriptures about this. In Philippians chapter 3, and this is Paul speaking here, in verse 12, he says, "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." I love this scripture. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. You know, because it really shows the heart of a disciple. It shows the heart of Paul that he was not going to give up. He was not going to look back in his relationship with God. You know, at the time when this was written, Paul was in house arrest. And what that is basically they didn't put you in a prison cell, but they'd have you in your house or in a house. And they probably, at this time when he wrote this, probably had a Roman soldier sitting there guarding him 24 hours a day. He was not in the ideal situation in his life. You know, and before this point, Paul had already been shipwrecked. He had gone through tons of persecution in his life already. And now he got to the point where he is locked up and can't go out and can't do all that. You know, he's not free anymore. And you would think a guy in that situation would have every right to say, you know, this is enough. I can't do this anymore. This is getting hard now. But he says, no. He says, I'm not going to look back. I think when I look at this scripture, I see what Paul was saying. He was saying that basically this part of my life, this is just one step on the journey for me to get to heaven. It was one step. It was one part. And he says, but it's not worth giving up because I'm going to focus on the goal to win the prize. Amen. I'm not going to look back. What happened? You got no picture. I was going to show you a picture of my new dog.
Aww.
It was supposed to be right there. But anyway, I got this, Marge and I, you know, our dog died a few weeks ago of cancer. You know, I had two people in my house with cancer. It was kind of a hard weekend, and we went out the next day and we bought this new miniature pit bull. And her name is Tala, which means in Tagalog, it means bright star. And but Tala is not so much a bright star, though, when you take her on a walk. Because what Tala has this problem doing is when she's on a walk and she might see somebody walking out the corner of her eye, and she's on her walk and all she'll do on her walk is look back. And I'm like, no. And she keeps looking back. I push her face back and she keeps looking back. And when she does that, our walk really just slows down. Because she's lost focus on where she's going, and she just wants to keep back. I mean, maybe she's just social. She wants to go see everybody and every dog and every squirrel. I mean, she likes frogs too at night when we go out. She'll focus on frogs. And she may be a little bit like me. She can get hyper-focused on things, but unfortunately, the things she gets hyper-focused on are usually things that we've already passed. And that whole walk, she just wants to keep looking back. And that's not the way. And Paul was saying here, that's not the way to go through our Christian life. We can't look back. We don't want to look back and hold up our walk with the Lord. You know, I think sometimes when we go through hard times in our Christianity, we think it's the right thing to do to look back. Because when we go through hard times, we do have that feeling like we want to take a break. We want to. I've had that. You know, just what we're going through in our life. You know, I've felt it. Like, God, I just want to take this break. I want to stop. You know, doesn't everybody understand what I'm going through? God, don't you understand? Well, the reality is God does understand what I'm going through. and he does care, but looking back is never going to help me. It's never going to help me. And it's never going to help us in our Christianity to look back and focus on what could have or should have or would have been. You know, we've got to keep focusing towards the goal to get to heaven. Hard times, and maybe this will be a shock, but hard times is just a part of your Christian walk.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we come into God's church and we think, you know what, there's never going to be a hard time in front of me. I'm now, all the bad times are behind me because now I'm a Christian. And then you hit that first time when something really goes wrong. And it just kind of throws you off. Like, God, I thought you were real. Well, God is real. But it's just part of the journey.
Right.
It's part of what we need to do and what we need to go through. Hard times make us stronger. They're not times for us to look back. Hard times, the things that I've learned from the hard times I've gone through in my life was I've learned to fight for my relationship with the Lord. We need those hard times because without them, we don't learn to fight.
Right.
We don't learn to fight for our relationship with God. He says, don't look back. Keep focused on the goal, which is heaven. You know, and I learned, I was at a lesson. This was back years ago in San Diego. And a guy did a lesson that I will never, ever forget. And his lesson was, he asked the question, is it okay for you to have an attitude with God? And a lot of people in that room were like, no, that's sin, you know? And he pointed out through the scriptures that it is absolutely okay to have an attitude with God. But it's only okay if you go to God with it and you work through it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What's not okay is to get it, just same thing with our relationships. You're going to have attitudes with each other? Yes. But if you don't work it out, that's where the problem comes in. Attitudes are natural. They happen once in a while. And when our relationship with God, I just remember this lesson that this guy taught that said, you know what? It's okay to have an attitude with God as long as you go to Him and you work it out. It's okay.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we don't want to have these attitudes. What it does is just it builds, it gets us mad and it gets us, you know, starting to look back and we start feeling like giving up. But that's never an option. We've always got to keep looking. We've got to keep growing. We've got to see the things, even the hard times that we go through, are really just building us up to become more and more like Jesus. We need to welcome the hard times in our life because they really do help us to grow. And they help us to get to heaven. They help us. We just got to focus on it. We got to keep moving forward in our Christian life. I'll tell you, you know, and I said this a few times, but in the last months, there are times I just didn't feel like moving forward. I've honestly, in the last months, I've had, like, should I be in the ministry? Should I be here? I had all these questions to God because I was questioning, God, why are you allowing us to go through this hard time right now? But the reality is that we, Marge and I, in some way, and we'll maybe figure this all out when we get to heaven, mm-hmm. but there's something we need to learn as we're going through this.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with all the hard times that all of us go through, is there's something we are going to get to grow from. There's something that we're going to learn to become more like Jesus. Right. But we've got to keep the goal in the side of our eye. And we got to keep that prize, which is heaven, looking, that's got to be always in front of us. Don't look back. We got to fight for our relationship with God.
Amen.
There's plenty of scriptures about fighting in the Bible. This is a quote here. The most common cause of failure is quitting. And that's by R.U. Darby. We'll talk about him a little bit later in the story I'm going to read at the end. But when you think about it, that's true. If you're so afraid of failure, you know, if you quit, you're always going to result in failure. Every single time. Ephesians 6, in verse 10, we're talking about our fight, our need to fight in our relationship with the Lord. Ephesians 6, in verse 10, it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert always, and always keep praying for the Lord's people. You know, you read a scripture like this. This scripture tells us, I mean, when do you put armor on? You put armor on when you're going to battle. And this scripture is for us. We need to be warriors in the faith. We need to be people that will never let life get us down. We'll never let situations take away our love for Jesus. We need to make sure that we can stand up and fight all the things that come at us. You know, and we got to see that when things in life that come up, a lot of times we can think, well, all that brother, sister, they made me mad and this is going on. What we got to see according to this scripture is that we've got to take our stand against the devil's schemes, because it's our struggle is not against flesh and blood. A lot of times we get so angry with people and things and whatever. We got to see that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle that Satan has a plan to take us down. He's scheming right now the plan to take you down. We always say, and we talk about this a lot, God's got a plan for us. Well, you better believe that Satan's got a plan for us as well. And he's scheming right now. And we got to see the things that come up, the things that cause us to look backwards, the things that cause us to say, hey, maybe I just can't do this anymore, or I need to take a break. Those are the things that are put in our life by Satan. Yeah. They are intentional to get you down, to take you away from your relationship with God. And we've got to put on the full armor, and we've got to fight against Satan. We got to fight because we're in a battle, and we've got to fight. And we've got to fight because Jesus is fighting for us. We've got to fight this battle. You know, a lot of times we like to think of armor looking like this, right? Yeah. We think, well, I'm going to put on this shiny armor. In fact, that's, you know, the knight in shining armor we talk about. And we think, well, this is what armor should look like. And you know, we're not going to go through, I think we did a lesson, somebody did a lesson on that scripture before. We can go through all the different things. But when we think about armor, this is not what armor is supposed to look like, right? There's something wrong if armor is just all pretty and shiny. Because armor is made to fight. You know, and a lot of times we think, well, maybe my armor is just, you know, I just wear this armor kind of to have fun. I go out and ride my bike with this armor on. Can you imagine riding your bike in the armor? That would not be fun, especially out in the humidity, right? 90 degrees and humid, that would not be fun. You know, or I could just go to work, I just kind of put my armor on there, I kind of look cool with my computer. That's not what armor is for. Armor is to fight. You know, I saw this, it says, a knight in shining armor is a man who has never had his mettle truly tested. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. That we need to be in the fight. If our armor is sparkling, our spiritual armor is just sparkle, shiny, and pretty, that means maybe we're not fighting enough in our relationship with God. We're not fighting to be stronger. We're not fighting to grow in our faith. We're not fighting to reach out to a lost world. But the scripture says that we've got to put on this full armor. We've got to make sure that we're prepared for the battle. And you think, well, What are things in my life do I need to fight? Why do I need to fight in my relationship with God? You know, I talk to a lot of people all the time, and I'll just give you a list of some of the things I think we should be fighting for. But I talk about some to people even about the basics of Christianity. Just read your Bible and pray every day. And I find that that's a fight for a lot of people. Yeah. And I think that sometimes we give up too early. We say, you know what, I got, and this is always the excuse, I got work going on, and I got school going on, and you don't understand my schedule, and I just don't feel like it. Do you see that those are all Satan's schemes? And are you standing up in battle? Are you a warrior? Are you someone that's not going to stop having your quiet times or getting, you know, just in the shower for 5 minutes in the shower and then run to work? We need to be spending quality time with God. We need to fight for our relationship with God. You know, we need to fight for our commitment. We need to fight for our commitment to the church and to each other, which is really the same thing. We need to be fighting to have what we have. God's given us all this. He's given us the relationships in this room. He's done the amazing things in our lives. We need to stand up now, and we need to fight for a commitment with Him and with each other. You know, there's going to be times where we're going to have persecution in our church. And I think a lot of us have already know people, because we've had some campus students go home that have had persecution from their family. Yeah. And sometimes we think, well, that'll never happen to me because my family's so awesome. But remember, it's not the family. It's Satan and his schemes. I'm sure if anybody's family knew that you were loving the Lord, they would not have a problem with it. But that's not the problem. It's Satan and his schemes. Right. And we need to make sure that when persecution comes, that we're not going to stay with shining armor. We're going to go into battle in our relationship with God, and we're going to stay strong no matter what. Amen. You know, some of us, you know, whether you've had in the past, I know health-wise, we're going through, we got to fight. You know, you may have health issues where you got to fight to keep your relationship with God strong. And not give up the battle, not give up the fight. You know, it's going to take fighting for us to evangelize Alabama and into Georgia and Columbus. And I think too easily we say, well, you know, I'm just passing through here. And there's always, you know, we are grateful for those that pass and have to go somewhere else. You know, we're grateful for Devontae. You know, he's done so much here, and he's going now to an incredible church, and he's going to do incredible things there. But we need to have a lot, there needs to be a lot of some people in the room that say, you know what, I am going to stay and I'm going to see the see Alabama evangelized.
Come on.
It's going to take sacrifice. It's going to take fighting. It's going to take us to not be comfortable. Because, you know, you can go to Los Angeles or New York and make a lot of money, you know? And we got to just believe that God can use us to stay here in the fight.
Amen.
You know, it's going to take fighting to see Alabama and Columbus evangelized. And even one day we'll see a church. I want to see a church in Columbus. I want to see Montgomery have its own church. You know, Tuskegee maybe one day will have its own. Can you get the Tuskegee Church of Christ?
Woo!
That would be awesome. But it's going to take a lot of sacrifice, and it's going to take a lot of fighting to see that happen. You know, and we got to also fight when we see people leave the church. There are going to be casualties. Any war has casualties, right? Any war. I hate war. I'm against war. We'll talk about that another time. But all I know is that war always has casualties. And the only war that I want to fight is I want to fight for my relationship with God. I want to fight to see souls saved. But there's going to be casualties along the way. We can't get weak when people go down. Mm-hmm. We can't shrink back and say, oh, maybe they had some good reason for leaving. Maybe I'll just leave too. No, we got to stay strong. And we got to fight to stay strong in our relationship with the Lord.
Come on.
The more, when I read the Bible, that's all I see. I see God and, you know, that we looked early. I see God and his love for us and his fighting for us. And then I see man and his fight to stay strong. I mean, you look at the New Testament, you know, Paul's going to churches. These people are all going to churches to try to tell them, hey, you need to get back in your relationship with God. If you read a lot of the letters, that's what they're about. Come on, guys, start fighting again. Get your relationship back to where it needs to be. We need to fight in our relationship with God. You know, and I like what it says, the last part of that. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all the Lord's people. You know, the biggest way that we can fight is through prayer. The biggest way we can fight is through prayer. And we need to become prayer warriors. You know, a lot of times we go through things in our life, and I know this, that sometimes my first reaction, and this is something I work through all the time, my first reaction when something goes wrong is maybe I get mad. Or my first reaction is to react in some way. A lot of times my first reaction is not just to go and pray. And that's something I really want to become better at as a warrior. You know, and I want you to ask yourself, have you fought and wrestled in prayer for the church? Have you fought and have you wrestled in prayer for the church? You know, it says that we need to pray, always keep on praying for the Lord's people. We need to continue to fight hard in prayer. We need to be praying for each other. We need to be praying that Satan's schemes is not just taking down me, but I need to be praying that Satan's schemes are not taking you down as well. And we need to be doing that for each other. The biggest thing that we can do to fight this battle is to go to God in prayer. And we need to become prayer warriors. You know, how often do you find yourself praying for your brother and sister? You know, what's the content of most of your prayer? You know, I think sometimes my prayers, when I get selfish, my prayers are all about me and my problems. And all about what I want God to do in my life. And how I want God to bless me in this and bless me in that. But I have to ask myself, if the biggest part of my prayer life is not about others, then really what am I doing? It's really just selfish prayers. God, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's not the kind of prayers. That's not fighting. We need to go to God and we need to fight for each other. Hebrews 10, verse 32. It says, remember those earlier days after you received the light, when you endured in great conflict, full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You know, I love this scripture too. It just talks about that we need to not shrink back. And he says there, he starts off and he says that we got to remember those earlier days after you received the light, when you endured great conflict. You know, he says, remember what Jesus has done in your life. Remember when you came out of the waters of baptism and you lived that first couple of months as a Christian and how excited you were because you realized what Jesus had done for you in your life. We need to constantly remember that. Now, it's a little confusing because Paul said don't look back, right? But I think what Paul was saying is don't look back on things that are going to stop you in your relationship with God. When here it's saying look back in the sense that we need to look back, and that's why we start out looking at Jesus and how incredible Jesus is. Remember that when you got baptized, and I remember myself as a young Christian, nobody had to tell me to go on campus and share my faith. Nobody had to tell me to be at everything. Nobody, because I was so far, I was on this high. Because for the first time, I realized what Jesus had done in my life. I realized the amazing sacrifice that He had shown me. I realized the fight that He was continuing to fight for me. And that was the high that kept me going. But then you know, as you go through the years, We start losing that. We start forgetting that. And we think, well, now I can just, you know, I'm a little older now. Now I can, you know, I got to take care of my house. And I got to take care of the car. And I got this to do. And I got to make money. And I got this, that to do. And we put all these things in the way. When you ask a new Christian if they're fired up and are they going to go out and share their faith, most of the time they're like, yes, I want to do it because I see what Jesus has done in my life. We've got to look back. How we can fight is we got to remember what Jesus has done in our lives. You know, do you remember and think about your conversion often? Do you remember? Do you remember how excited you were? You know, do you remember what God saved you from? I think it's very easy to say, I'm saved. It's another thing when we remember what is it that God saved you from. When I think about the loneliness, the selfishness, the pride, the arrogance, the impurity, the things in my life, I know that God saved me from those things. You know, do you remember when you first fell in love with Jesus? You know, when I see guys that first fall in love with a sister, you know, they'll do anything for that sister, right? They go kind of in la-la land. Like, you usually got to tell the brother, quit it. You know, you're going a little overboard. We got to be like that in our relationship with God. We got to be like that every single day of our life until we make it to that prize in heaven. We got to have that excitement, that newness that God has saved me. Like when you first came out of the waters of baptism. This stuff can never get old. But we got to constantly look back and remember what he's done in our lives. And it says that we don't belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed. You know, we got to make sure that we never, ever shrink back in our walk with the Lord. You know, you look at what the church was going through here. It says here, and we can't even relate to this stuff, honestly. I mean, we look at this stuff and we go, oh yeah, they went through hard times. But we can't relate because we don't go through these kind of times. You know, it says that they were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. I don't remember a story of anybody in this room who was put out in the public and insulted in front of everybody. I don't even know what that would feel like. You know, it says that not only were they persecuted, but at other times you stood side by side with those who were so treated. So you were maybe persecuted one time, now you're not, but now you see somebody else persecuted, so you go stand right next to them. So again, you're being persecuted again. You put yourself right in that way because you know you're in a battle and you're willing to fight. It says that you joyfully, these people joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago I got my radio stolen out of my Jeep when I was a college student. That's the only time I've really been broken into. And I remember that feeling, oh, my radio's gone. You know, it's like, I gotta call the police, I gotta get back. Because all the, you know, how could these people do that to me? And I look at these people, imagine someone going in your house today, they know you're a Christian, and they say, I'm gonna go in your house, I'm gonna take everything you own because you're a Christian. And when these people saw it, they looked at that and they go, this is awesome because that stuff means nothing. Mm-hmm. Would that be our reaction? Mm-hmm. Or would we be like, oh man, they took all my stuff. You know, these people were not willing to shrink back. They were going to fight for their relationship with God. We've got to fight for our relationship with God. And the last scripture, why do we got to fight for our relationship with God? I think God has a lot of plans still. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. You know, we can't give up the fight. Too many people have given up the fight when there was probably something good right in front of them. But they gave up because they weren't willing to stick through it and to see the immeasurably more that God was going to do in their life. You know, are you willing to fight in your relationship with God? You might be going through a hard time. Are you willing to see the immeasurably more? We love the scripture, but are you willing to fight to see it? We can't shrink back. You know, it all starts and it all ends with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He's done so much for us, and he's going to continue to do so much for us. We can never stop battling to have a great relationship with the Lord. We can't stop, because what will Alabama and Columbus, Georgia, think about 10 years from now? What will the churches there look like? What will they look like 20 years from now? 30 years from now? You know, and you may be one of the three disciples at Columbus, and you think, well, what am I here for? You know, I got no plan. Or you may be the few people out in Montgomery or in Enterprise. You think, you know, what difference am I going to make? But if we don't fight, we'll never get to see the incredible things that God can do in these cities. Don't give up the fight. Let's keep fighting in our relationship with God. I want to share a story as we end here. And this is about a guy who gave up just a little bit early. An ambitious wealth seeker, R.U. Darby, the guy that did the quote before, went on a quest to become rich by discovering gold. He headed west, staked a claim, and went to work with a pick and a shovel. The going was hard, but his lust for gold was definite. After weeks of labor, he was rewarded by the discovery of shining ore. He needed machinery to bring the ore to the surface. Quietly, he covered up the mine, retraced his footsteps to his home in Williamsburg, Maryland, told his relatives and a few neighbors of the strike. They all got together money for the needed machinery and had it shipped. The uncle and Darby went back to work in the mine. The first car of ore was mined and shipped to the smelter. The returns proved they had one of the richest mines in all of Colorado. A few more cars of that ore would clear their debts. Then would come the big killing in profits. Down went the drills. Up went the hopes of Darby and his uncle. Then something happened. The vein of gold ore disappeared. They had come to the end of the rainbow, and the pot of gold was no longer there. They drilled on desperately, trying to pick up the vein again, all to no avail. Finally, they became discouraged and they decided to quit. They stopped fighting. They sold the machinery to the junk man for a few hundred dollars and took the train back home. The junk man who had bought the equipment had a passion for mining. In his heart and soul, he was a miner. He had spent years studying the science behind mining, which is why he seized this opportunity to further investigate this opportunity. He called the miner a mining engineer to look at the mine and do a little calculating. The engineer informed him that the project had failed simply because the original owners were not familiar with fault lines. His calculations showed that the vein would be found just 3 feet from where the original miner had stopped drilling. That is exactly where the gold was found. The junk man took millions of dollars in ore from the mine because he knew enough to seek expert counsel before giving up. Darby returned home, paid back everyone who had lent him money, and was determined to learn from his mistake in giving up too soon. Darby learned a valuable lesson. You need to persevere and fight through difficulties and stay focused if you are to become successful. Whenever you feel like giving up on your dream, or for us as Christians, giving up on our relationship with Jesus, remember that you may be just 3 feet from gold. And that's a true story, by the way. Amen. Guys, let's fight for our relationship with God.
Amen. All right. Awesome lesson. Thank you, Mike. So we're